Incendiary Radio. Now, I want to, Mr. Producer, get back to clip 13, if you would. And this was up on Dabu 7, and I'm sure a bunch of you guys saw Rabbi Shmuley Boteach hanging out with Trump and Bannon and all these guys at the White House with the kind of Jewish celebrations, et cetera, et cetera, and Jewish Heritage Month and all this stuff, Holocaust commemoration and all this. So Rabbi Shmuley, that was Michael Jackson's close friend or rabbi or whatever. But on clip 13 here, I'm going to play this, and then him and Bannon took this picture together, and it was all over the place. He put it on his Twitter and everything. But there was a whiteboard behind Steve Bannon, okay, with all these little notes about, I guess, the agenda moving forward. And this is what's freaky. Printed, he has it circled on the video, but printed in fine print there was about biometric passport information to enter and exit the country and all this other stuff. And so this is on the agenda. Sensenbrenner, a longtime Republican from Wisconsin, has been really, the congressman, has been really one of these guys pushing this biometric stuff, like this real ID and all this crap. So a lot of this comes out of like the Republican circles, okay, the Big Brother wing of Republican circles. And so, and you know that the Bolshevik Democrats will be right on board. And so you have that kind of underbelly in the House of Representatives where these guys act like they all fight, but they're, you know, they've got this biometric agenda to keep going forward. Let's hit clip 13 real quick.
I've said many times that the writing is on the wall. And this time, literally, the truth is hidden in plain sight. This is beyond the rabbi here and Bannon, the whole administration. This shows the agenda, the establishment plan. When they talk of deep state, when they talk of this new world order, this shadow government, this dark hand behind the scenes that pulls the strings to all these events. We've been talking for some time about the 2030 agenda. Years ago, we started talking about this, warning about their plan and everything that they wanted to do in trying to bring every last person into the system, so to speak. Governments, globalist forces, the United Nations, they want to make sure that every human being on the planet has a government-issued identification card, complete with biometric data and everything that they need to track you. And indeed, we have this in the UN Sustained Development Goals, also known as Agenda 2030. This explains in detail exactly what they want to do. It explicitly calls for providing legal identity and birth registration for all globally. Now, if you look over the shoulder of Bannon here, you will see it says, finally complete the biometric entry exit. And then it's, you can't see the rest, but you can see that all these are checked off. Some of them are not. This is one that obviously is not in place yet. I want to remind folks, MasterCard just rolled out a new card that has this biometric thing installed in it. And I warned then, but I want you to see, as people are waking up every day to what's really going on, I want you to see that part of the agenda here is just that, what we've been warning about for years. This administration has this in its sights.
All right, you can stop it there. Biometric ID. You know, everybody was thinking, you know, a new lease on liberty, and some of that's going to be true. But at the same time, the people behind this agenda are embedded, okay, and they're not going anywhere. The orders are down, and I covered Accenture. These companies, when I had Spiro on, the YouTuber, now he's over there with Newsbud, And but we talked about Accenture. One of the reasons why you flood these countries with refugees is then you're going to need to identify them. And then I covered this, I don't know how long ago this was, but the agenda, you create this chaos, you create so many incidents, then people are going to be clamoring for, we have to identify these people. None of them been vetted, et cetera, et cetera. We heard Trump's lingo with vetting people, extreme vetting. And then the next step's going to be biometrics. And unfortunately, the step after that will probably be some sort of implantable biometrics. So let's take Dave in Nevada. Dave, we got you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey,
go ahead.
Yeah. Real quickly about the this whole thing with Alex Jones and all these people being kind of like swept away.
Yeah.
People have to be careful about this whole victimization ideology. Not everyone who is a victim of whatever court case or this or that does not make them particularly innocent or what I'm trying to say is simply because someone is a martyr does not necessarily want to, you don't necessarily want to be on their side is what I'm saying.
No. I was bringing up the point of, the coalescence of, but the coalescence of basically the targeting of like Anglin with the SPLC suit, Jones with basically going after his ad revenue and some of that stuff, like Google kind of targeting, and then this court case that gets blown up, and like people like Colbert and the rest of them constantly fixating on him, and then Hannity with this sexual stuff, then O'Reilly. It's just interesting the timing of all this that happens, of people that were, you know, relatively helpful in Trump getting into office. And then it could be not people within the administration doing it. It could be organized forces on the left side of the political spectrum that are just highly pissed off that they lost. I'm just putting the angle out there, you know.
That's the argument that you're making, but I was just trying to what I was saying is that a lot of times at the very end of a certain period or a certain age is that everything gets swept away, for whatever reason, good or bad, and the nuances are just, it doesn't matter what angle people take, it's just that, if you're on a certain side, it just gets all swept away, is what I'm saying. And that includes people who are like Alex Jones or whatever angle that they take, and then they're just like, okay, it's just like, it becomes black and white, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, you know, like you and I, we can't see exactly where we are on the timeline because these...
Right.
This thing is scripted to the point where it's very, very methodically laid out. And so
sophisticated.
There could be an event tomorrow or a week from now or a month ago that we don't know about, but that's already planned. It's in the works. And people like this are going to need to be basically reduced to some sort of almost a caricature type thing in order for...
Right.
You know, in order for whatever they have planned for us as far as the next shoe to drop, that, you know, that's the point. That's, I have to look at it that way as well, because a lot of people are going to have to get swept away for the next step in the agenda to move forward. And so, yeah.
And so, like, all these guys have played the roles, including Bannon, so, and what you're saying about the biometrics, for example, from what I've read about Kushner, what's going on in that building that he bought is I don't know if you've ever covered this. You probably have. I don't know.
Well, with Lucid technology and all that?
Yeah. They're basically building a biometric system in that building.
Yeah, I've seen that bantered around, yeah.
Yeah, and so from what I'm gathering, maybe what you're gathering, is that they're basically all building a biometric system of what you're saying. Everyone's like clamoring, oh, we need to vet the Muslims, the Beaners, all the illegals. All these people, let's vet everyone, and then we're going to come out with the biometric ID system, and when you get pulled over, you better have your biometric card.
Yeah, well, and it really cocktails with the weird economic kind of reset hypothesis that's out here. That's part of the reason Trump was brought in, is to be the guy that sits over the reset. There's a lot of people where you have these various things kind of all kind of coming into the picture in a simultaneous fashion. And so some of these voices out here, they're going to need to be marginalized when this reset goes down. And if it does go into an electronic system, that which a lot of the people are going to be highly against. And so it's interesting to watch all this unfold and to watch the how people are acting and how people are being, let's just say, used and targeted and so forth and so on. And then to see how people like in our sector are acting towards each other. It's interesting to watch this all unfold. I think, you know, this year, you know, and then you get into, you know, the numerological stuff with, you know, people are into so many different things, and it is what it is, but go ahead.
And look, Trump's going to meet, apparently he's going to meet with the Pope at the this month.
Yep.
Right? So what's that all about? And, I mean, this whole row with, remember the whole row with the Pope, complaining about Trump and the law and stuff. I mean, is that really like a big deal between these people? Or are they going to come to a quote-unquote solution? I mean, this guy's meeting with Erdogan.
With
Erdogan.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And he's going to go to Israel.
Yep.
Yeah, and so a lot, you know. Yeah, this is a whirlwind deal that's about to go down with Trump. And so the whole thing with Bergoglio being on the border down there in that part of Texas, and then Scalia, the mystery death of Scalia right down in that area, that whole thing was really eerie. And then the Pope saying Trump's not a Christian because you can't have walls and all that crap. We saw that big dust up. And then I covered a long time ago when I started digging into Trump right off the flip. His first 2 years was at Fordham University in the Bronx, a Jesuit school. And so it's very fascinating to watch all this. And so, the Dulles brothers, one of the Dulles is being a cardinal, Jesuit cardinal from up at Fordham, and the skullduggery with the Dulles family. The whole thing's interesting, and it's very crazy. And the Archbishop of New York, remember him kind of giving Trump the nod and him reading at Trump's inauguration and that whole thing. And so the Al Smith dinner with Hillary and Trump and all the little weird stuff that went on there. Very fascinating to watch basically the kosher circles in New York and then the Catholic powerhouse of New York City as well.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to call you back, and I actually have a government document about Vatican II that I'll read to you.
All right.
I'll let it go at that, and I'll let you get to your other callers.
All right, man. Thanks for the call, Dave.
All right.
So let's take Sean in Australia. Mr. Sean, what's up? We got Sean? All right, well, let me know when you got Sean, Mr. Producer. This is about Kushner. Let's get clip 17 queued up. And this is another one on Kushner, and this has to do with selling visas to very, very elite individuals in China. This was just breaking. A few different outlets had this one. Let's go ahead and hit clip 17. We got 17. Can you hear me down there, Mr. Producer? All right. Well, I hope I'm still on the air. So let's see here. I wanted to talk about this. Well, my Skype seems locked up. Well, I'm going to keep going and hopefully... Oh, there we go. I'm going to keep going and hopefully... But I wanted to talk about Kushner awareness. Mr. Producer, give me a shout if you can hear me. I think we're breaking new ground here. I mean, with all the basic people that are like aware of Jared Kushner, like even in, you know, like, sectors that are not like researching the Jewish angle very heavily, they really don't like Jared Kushner. And so I think there's an awakening here to skullduggery in the administration, and especially with Jared Kushner, that's reaching kind of a critical mass. And I think that can be nothing but a positive thing. And so I've just been thinking about that. I was like, I'm watching all these people, like even more of the kosher outlets reporting on this stuff with Kushner. Very fascinating. Mr. Producer, we got clip 17 ready. All right. I'm going to keep going. I was thinking about this. Useful idiots. Now, we talk about management of the lesser brethren, like in the protocols, basically the elites, the elders, managing their own lesser brethren. And I was thinking about this in the basically the homosexual community, how the communists and like the pedophile wing, like the NAMBLA wing of the homosexual community, how they manage the lesser brethren in the gay community, to where they keep them very corralled into left-wing politics, tolerance for pedophilia, for the worst, like, kind of like the disgusting practices and so forth. It's like I was, you know, you talk to some of these like regular people who happen to be gay or homosexual, and you're like, well, how could you go along with some of this really crazy pedophiliac stuff, and then why would you want to go along with like communism, knowing that so many people end up getting killed because they think outside the box, or they don't want to go along with this communist system. So they have their own management, like useful idiot management system, even in the homosexual community. And then you see the in all of the various kind of communities. But I was thinking about that, the airline incidents. You know, we've seen in the last 2 weeks what, about three of these weird airline incidents where people, the Asian guy getting removed from the plane, the pilot slapping one of these women that were fighting on the in the tunnel. We see the lady get smacked by the stroller and the And then we just seen this one that went viral, a guy and his family being removed from a Delta flight. And so a lot of people thinking these are psyops and some sort of kind of slave training, and actually to deter people from traveling. And, you know, I've seen a lot of these YouTubers and people writing articles that basically they're, this is all going on to freak people out and basically make them fearful of traveling. Mr. Producer, can you hear me? All right, so I am not in contact with my producer. Mr. Producer, can you play clip 17?
married to Ivanka, a man that has been appointed to a high position by Trump himself, the man that Trump said, if anyone can make peace in the Middle East, it's you. The man in possession of 666 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. This man is now barred journalist from attending this Shanghai event. And this is very interesting. You wonder, why would they be banning journalists? Well, that has everything to do with what they were discussing, and that was giving visas to the Chinese, the wealthy Chinese, that want to put down some money on their projects. This should have Americans outraged. Not only to know that this man took $1 billion in loans, it made him the man that he is, the position he's in, with all the money and power. When you have people invest $1 billion in you, can you say controlled to the fullest? Without it, he would be nothing, would not be in this position. They've invested in him. And now he is going to the Chinese, same Chinese that Trump was ranting about throughout the whole election and now seems to be buddying up with. Now he's going to the Chinese, kicking the journalist out, and he is seeking $150 million, or 15.4% of the funding for this project that has to do with this two-tower luxury apartment complex in New Jersey. Now, this controversial EB-5 program, and this is the reason they don't want journalists around these events, and they're going to continue to do this. You mark my words. They can get away with doing it here, they'll do it elsewhere. But this EB-5 program allows the wealthy foreigners, well, as you can see here, from China this time, and who knows who else from other countries was there in China. Just because it was hosted in China doesn't mean that leaders from other places were not attending. We don't have that list, but what we know is that he was offering these individuals from other countries through this program U.S. immigration visas for themselves and for their families if they invested at least $500,000 or at least $500,000 into certain development projects. And as these journalists went to get there, they were met with, sorry, this is a private event, not allowed to enter. And the bits and details that we have thus far are these little tidbits that this is part of this EB-5 program. And the numbers are, like I just said, they want $500,000 invested into these development projects. And if they do that, they'll allow them to get these visas, to be able to come and go as they please.
You can stop it there. So we've got quid pro quo deal with Kushner now. Some very high dollar visas. And we know through listening to other folks about the amount of Chinese that come here to have babies, and therefore getting citizenship and so forth. And supposedly the numbers are high enough to be really up there comparable with Latinos. And so, go to San Francisco, folks. Go to parts of L.A., like Westminster. It's tons of Asians. Tons of them. So, another this for that. Give me some money. Invest in some of this. And then you'll be able to, and this, look at the Saudis with their visa program that's still in effect today. All the Saudis that get to go to school here. Even though, the madrasa funding program, the worst elements of Islam are funded by a lot of Saudi and Gulf state money of the Wahhabi systems of madrasas all over the place. But they still get to come here, and because it's all this petrodollar system and propping up the American currency. So what we have to worry about is what's next, and are we going to see some, we've seen these alternative media figures, for the last 2.5-3 years saying that the collapse is imminent. We saw 2008 with the TARP program, Troubled Asset Relief. Hank Paulson, former head of Goldman Sachs, threatening martial law if the Congress didn't vote for the bailouts. Billions and trillions going to all these banking houses, many of whom weren't even American banking houses. So this was basically the biggest theft in probably the history of the planet as far as looting the future generations, trillions of dollars of fiat currency. Insane. Mr. Producer, get clip 8 ready. This is the latest from Brother Nathaniel, and it's about basically this Buy American stuff. And, you know, Brother Nathaniel is one of these guys that was kind of on the Trump train for a minute, and he got off quickly, like a lot of people did. With me, I look more long range, and I look what's going to be best for our country. And I mean, it was going to be a bad deal with Hillary and the kind of crazy agenda that Obama was implementing with the crazy social agenda, the domestic Marxist kind of gun grabberish thing. Now where they're probably, you know, Trump and the NRA are buddy-buddy, and so they're going to back off the gun grab thing for now. Remember Bush during Katrina, though, I brought that up probably last week or the week before. It was a Republican, and I know the Bush family aren't real Republicans at all, but that Katrina crap happened where basically the federal government got sicked on the poor people down there in the New Orleans area, and they were disarmed. Hopefully that'll never happen again, but with what we've got coming our way, most likely, it's very likely that it could. Let's hit clip 8.
Showman Trump is one big act. Last month, he vowed that the federal government would buy American. It was pure theater.
Through the years, Snap-on tools have been at the center of our industrial life. For decades, this company has served the needs of American workers. It's time we had a federal government that does the same.
Wait a minute. The Buy American Act of 1933 requires the federal government to prefer U.S.-made products. But since then, due to America signing a world trade agreement, it gave waivers to 59 countries to bid on the same contracts that U.S. firms do. Bid low, owe some favors, and who gets the work? Not us. Let's take Israel's Migal Security Systems. It plans to bid on Trump's border wall, banking on equal preference. Trump just loves that big, beautiful West Bank separation wall that Migal helped to build. Jared Kushner, Israel's mole in the White House, could certainly sweeten the pot. Now, Senators Baldwin and Merkley wrote to Trump last March demanding he suspend access to foreign firms until the World Trade Agreement is renegotiated. Trump snubbed them. On with the show.
For too long, we've watched as our factories have been closed and our jobs have been sent to other faraway lands. We've lost 70,000 factories since China joined the World Trade Organization. And you've seen that. You've heard about it. 70,000. The World Trade Organization, another one of our disasters.
If it's such a disaster, then suspend the Government Procurement Agreement, GPA, with the World Trade Organization. A U.S. president can withdraw from the GPA by giving 60 days notice with no liability. But the World Trade Organization, an offspring of the Bretton Woods Conference that ushered in Jewish financial supremacy, is a globalist constricting force. Farming out government contracts abroad is big business for Jewish Wall Street. Trump's got three global boys advising him. Mnuchin, Kushner, and Cohn. Sounds like a Jewish banking firm. It's all under advisement. That's why Trump's Buy American EO is legally tendered rubbish.
We're going to do everything in our power to make sure that more products are stamped with those wonderful words, made in the USA. That's why I'm here today. In just a few moments, I will be signing a Buy American and Hire American executive order. You haven't heard about that in a long time in this country. With this action, we are sending a powerful signal to the world. We're going to defend our workers, protect our jobs, and finally, put America first.
Whoa. 59 countries can still bid on federal contracts. They lowball, and Jewish Wall Street boys grab the highball. It's America last, and U.S. workers get the shaft. Get it? Then write Trump a letter. But with Mnuchin, Kushner, and Cohn in charge, they'll toss it in the trash.
All right, you can stop it there. So I look, this is a mixed bag here, and there's a couple angles here. Okay, so Nathaniel's talking about federal contracts for, you know, doing work for the federal government. Okay, well, private sector is another story. You know, you could be trying to bring some jobs back, cut the corporate tax rate, get some of the money from offshore that's all over the place offshore back into the country, attract some more of our businesses that have moved abroad. It's incentives for them to move home. It's a tough one because labor and everything is so cheap. I mean, in the communist gulag, I mean, and then they let you trash the environment on top of, you know, grinding the face of the poor in their countries to produce these products, and then you get to sell them back here for the same price. So that means more of a profit margin for the stockholders of the corporation. I get all this. I think that there's some things, it's more complicated than just the way simple Trump's just lying completely 100%. I think that there's some movement under the surface here to where, you, like I said, a hybrid system. You're gonna see some improvements with these characters surrounding him. Maybe that there's probably been some sort of deal struck to brighten things up back here in the United States a bit, and then some sort of geopolitical promises have been made, and that's what it's looking like to me, and that's the way it's looking like to a lot of people. I want to bring up this. I want you to keep your eye on my governor here in the state of Missouri, Eric Greitens, the first Jewish governor, the Navy SEAL. Get clip 10 ready. This is from Fox News, and this is like a propaganda piece for Governor Greitens, and I want to play a little bit of this, and then I'm going to talk about what just happened that Trump did. So let's hit a little bit of
clip. Trump ran as an outsider in 2016, but he wasn't the only one. One candidate took a road to office with even more twists and turns. Here's our power player of the week.
I've come as a conservative, as an outsider, as a Navy SEAL, and we're taking on politics as usual.
Thank you! God bless you!
Meet Eric Greitens, elected in November as Missouri's governor, and at age 42, the nation's second youngest.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
But what really sets him apart is his path to public office. Back in 2000, he was a Rhodes Scholar, who also worked with humanitarian groups in war-torn countries like Bosnia and Rwanda. One day at Oxford, he looked at a memorial for Rhodes Scholars who died in the two world wars.
If they hadn't have made that decision, then I wouldn't be standing here. I realized that at that moment that I wanted to do my part, and I wanted to serve.
Greitens did four tours as a Navy SEAL, serving in both Iraq and Afghanistan.
You know that at every moment, there's somebody to your left and somebody to your right, and that they're counting on you. I can stay strong for them for 10 more seconds. I can fight for them for one more minute. And if I can make it for one more minute, I can make it for 10 more minutes.
When Greitens returned to Missouri, he started a nonprofit called The Mission Continues to help veterans with disabilities recover by serving others.
continue their mission of service in communities and start their own businesses and get quality private sector jobs and live as contributing citizens again here at home.
The Ferguson riots in 2014 were the turning point that led Greitens into politics.
Ferguson was a tremendous failure. If we'd had a leader who'd shown up with any kind of command presence and courage and calm and clarity, we could have had peace by the second night.
Greitens ran as an outsider, and he wasn't subtle about it.
Well, I'm no career politician. I'm a Navy SEAL, and I'll take dead aim at politics as usual.
As governor, he has kept aiming at the same target.
You talk about ethics reform before issues. Why?
Well, because we have to have people who trust their leaders. You know, people want to have leaders who they can have confidence in.
His first act was to ban gifts from lobbyists to members of the executive branch.
The people of Missouri are ready to work, so let's get to work today.
But he's also signed a right-to-work law to boost Missouri's economy. And on public safety, he's worked out with local police and gone to poor neighborhoods to hand out sandwiches.
We need to have leaders who are willing to go to the front lines.
You can stop it there. So, you know, Rhodes Scholar, and everybody knows about the Rhodes Scholar program, Bill Clinton and numerous others go to Oxford and they get trained in the ways of basically the New World Order, the One World System. Okay. Now, he's 42 years old, was in the SEALs. Trump just named him to the Council of Governors, which was created, I think, 2010 or something. It's Governors Council thing, where basically these guys, they're all into like homeland preparedness and defense and emergency management and all this other stuff. And so very fascinating that Trump names this guy onto the Council of Governors. I think he's somebody to watch as far as if the country has any future left and some years left. He's the type of guy, Rhodes Scholar and everything, Jewish conservative military guy. I think they've got him tapped for, let's just say, bigger and better things. Keep your eye out on the governor of the state of Missouri for something in the future. That's all I'm going to say. Mr. Producer, get clip 16 ready. The satanic kind of in-your-face psyop continues in Minnesota. They're going to put up a Saturn's cube near some, I think, a military cemetery. It's got a big upside down pentagram on it. So this kind of satanic psyop to freak out normal everyday Americans and really push Christians even further. The agenda continues. Let's hit clip 16.
The scumbags themselves, the Satanists, the Satanic Temple is at it again. It sounded like they were laying low for a little while they were focusing on getting their satanic filth programming inside of public schools. But again, they're doing what they do best, which is finding anywhere they possibly can to erect their monuments. And that's how it's going to go here in America. Because they're going to use freedom of religion. They're going to find any public place that has a cross, including tombstones and monuments, and they're going to say, if there's a cross here, then we have to have some type of satanic Baphomet nonsense here. And that's exactly what's going on in Minnesota at a Veterans Memorial Park, a park for veterans who lost their lives in war because there was a cross attached to the monument. The state is now allowing the Satanists to erect their own monument in this park. Oh, and it gets funnier. Funny by the sense of how unbelievable the symbolism that they constantly use is, yet they sit there and claim to be atheists. And I'm going to refrain from cursing, because this is the stuff that drives me nuts, why people can't just see the signs that all of us expose and talk about. Oh, they're just picking these signs and symbols, right? Must be a coincidence. But take a look for yourself at the Satanic Temple's Twitter. Support the construction, shipping, installation, and maintenance of the first Satanic monument on public ground. So they also want you to donate. And these morons who walk around with their Baphomet shirts and their pentagrams on their foreheads like idiots will donate to it. They're asking you to support it. Let me ask you a question, Lucien Graves. That's the pigment eye, the guy with one eye, who walks around lying to everybody, thinking that he's some intellectual. Oh, he's so smart.
You could stop
and he's an
there.
Atheist. And he-
yeah. It's the same thing as the transgender agenda and the music industry. It's all going purposefully dark to trigger this kind of helpless response, and it basically to make people think that the entire society is going to hell in a handbasket. And these, if you notice, these kinds of stories are getting more and more attention. Just like the airline psyops to make it seem like just everybody's losing their mind. And this breeds like a sense of we're in this massive downward spiral. And then you've got this derangement syndrome that's really been impregnated in people because of Trump and the way people are reacting with anything Trump does. And so they want people to they want Christians to feel helpless, like the evil is encroaching upon them. They want the left to feel helpless, like Trump's some sort of a Hitlerian figure and they're in danger. They want everybody to feel like their entire world is questionable, fragile, and everything else. And they it's like these vampires that run this thing, they feed off of this negative energy, but they also use it as a control mechanism to get everybody at each other's throats. And so, you know, there's people out here that are all at each other's throats, all these people in alternative media and people that run networks and all this other stuff, and they want to lash out at everybody and blah, blah, blah. And I just say this, don't fall